In his second letter to Timothy, the Apostle Paul writes these words, "I charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing and by his kingdom, preach the word. Be urgent, in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, and exhort. Be unfailing in patience and in teaching." This is In Season and Out of Season, a Bible teaching ministry with Father Tom DiLorenzo.
Good day, it's Father Tom, and I'm glad to be with you today. I've heard from several people how you enjoyed the healing service on Friday. Thanks be to God. I heard that someone's back was feeling a lot better. I don't know what else has happened because people haven't reported this to me, but we had a good time on Friday worshiping the Lord and praising Him and really seeing what God can do because He bore our wounds and carried our infirmities. I'm talking today about the Eucharist. I want to ask you this question. Have you ever bought a new car and it was going to arrive on Wednesday? It doesn't even have to be a new car. It's a good car. And you anticipate, we're going to have that new car. Isn't that wonderful? Wednesday, we're going to have that new car. Anticipation is something that's so wonderful. And yet we receive the Eucharist, the body and blood of Christ. And how many of us anticipate that? Today I'm going to receive Jesus. Oh, this morning I'm going to receive Jesus. He's coming to me, Jesus, total Jesus, the wonderful Jesus, the one who spoke the world into existence. How do we anticipate receiving the body and blood of Christ? I could say we don't, because it's become, you know, second nature, because we receive every week. We need to be excited about going to the Eucharist. Today, I'm going to receive the body and blood of Christ. If I told you I did this, I'd be a liar. But this morning, I felt not too good, and I said, I'm going to stay in bed. And I said, no, after my homily yesterday, I can't stay in bed. I've got to receive the Eucharist. I've got to receive the body and blood of Christ. Anticipation. I want to just talk to you about miracles that have happened with the body of Christ. I've told you about Father Adam, and he preached in France about discipleship. And he said, there aren't many disciples. And this man came up to him at the end of Mass and said, I am a disciple of Jesus. And he says, how do you know? He said, because 3 weeks ago, when they lifted up the host, my left eye was blind, I saw. And when he lifted up the chalice, my right eye was healed. And he said, I can see now. I'm not blind anymore. And I have given my life to Jesus. And I am a disciple. Well, are you a disciple of Jesus today? Do you anticipate receiving the Eucharist? This is something that we can at least think about, that yes, when I receive the Eucharist, let's get excited about it. It's better than a new car. I'm going to receive Jesus. It's truly Jesus. It's not a symbol. It's Jesus. I'm going to talk on the sequence of the body and blood of Christ, and it goes like this. Loud a praise, O Jerusalem, your salvation. Yes, Jesus is our salvation. There is salvation in no other name but in the name of Jesus. Laud with hymns of exultation. Yes, be exultant to Jesus. Christ your King and Shepherd true. He is the King of kings and the Lord of lords, and He is the Shepherd as well as the Lamb. Bring Him all the praise you know. He is more than you can bestow. No matter how we praise Him, there's always more, because we can't reach the totality of praise because there's always more beside. He is more than you can bestow. Never can you reach His due. Special theme for glad thanksgiving is the quickening and the living. Bread today before you set. That's what we have before us set food, bread and wine. From His hands of old partaken, as we know by faith unshaken, where the 12 at supper met, talking about the Last Supper. Full and clear, ring out your chanting. Again, praise God. Praise God for what you're going to receive. Joy nor sweetest grace be wanting. from our heart let praises burst. Yes, see, they say charismatics praise the Lord. No, we're called by Thomas Aquinas to praise the Lord, to praise the Lord, and all of our praise will never reach his due. From our heart let praises burst, for today the feast is holden, when the institution olden of that supper once rehearsed, yes. Hear the new law's new oblation, yes, he is the sacrifice. By the new king's revelation, he is the king. Ends the form of ancient rite. In other words, no more burning of animals, no more killing of animals. It ends the form. The Eucharist ends the form of ancient rite. It's the true presence of God, the true presence of Christ. Now the new, the old effaces, yes, the new covenant in the blood of Jesus. Truth away the shadow chases. Light dispels the gloom of night. What he did at supper seated, Christ ordained to be repeated. Do this in memory of me. His memorial never to cease. Until when? Until he comes in glory. Until he comes in glory. And his rule for guidance taking, bread and wine we hallow making, thus our sacrifice of peace. This the truth each Christian learns, bread into his flesh he turns, amen. To his precious blood the wine, sight has failed, nor thought conceives, but a dauntless faith believes. In other words, it doesn't look that way, but our faith knows that this is the body and blood of Christ. Resting on a power divine, here beneath these signs are hidden, priceless things to sense forbidden. Signs, not things, are all we see. Blood is poured and flesh is broken, yet in neither wondrous token. Whoso of this food partakes, does not rend the Lord nor breaks. Christ is whole to all who taste. In other words, even a little piece of the Eucharist, the whole Christ is present. And we are at Calvary when we celebrate the Eucharist. And we receive the risen Lord when we receive Jesus. Oh, that's why we need to anticipate. We need to praise the Lord. Even though our praises aren't enough, we need to praise the Lord with all of our hearts and all of our souls that we are about to receive the Lord. Thousands are as one receivers, one as thousands of believers, each of him who cannot waste. No, we cannot waste him. We put him in the tabernacle because it's truly the body of Christ. It's the real presence. Bad and good the feast are sharing of what diverse dooms preparing. Endless death or endless life. Those who receive the Eucharist without even thinking about it and having never gone to confession, endless death or endless life. Life to these, to those, damnation. Life to those who believe, and the others, damnation. See how like participation that everyone comes up to receive is with unlike issues rife. When the sacrament is broken, doubt not, but believe 'tis spoken, that each severed outward token doth the very whole contain. The very whole Christ is contained in the Eucharist. Even if a host was broken and you received half of the host, you're receiving the whole Jesus Christ. Not the precious gift divides, breaking but the sign betides. Jesus still the same abides. Still unbroken he remains. Lo, the angel's food is given to the pilgrim who has striven, in other words, to those who believe. See the children's bread from heaven. Yes, the bread from heaven. Yes, the manna was what? A shadow of the Eucharist. A shadow of the Eucharist. Which on dogs may not be spent, cannot be given to animals. Truth, the ancient types fulfilling. Isaac bound, a victim willing. What God did not ask Abraham to do was to kill Isaac. His son died on the cross for us, and we are at Calvary when we celebrate the Eucharist and we receive the risen Lord. Paschal lamb, its lifeblood spilling, manna to the Father sent. Very bread, good shepherd, tend us. Jesus of your love, befriend us. You refresh us. You defend us. You refresh us by our receiving the Eucharist. You defend us by our receiving the Eucharist. Your eternal goodness send us in the land of life to see you who all things can and know, who on earth such food bestow. Grant us with your saints, though lowest, where the heavenly feast you show, fellow heirs and guests to be. Amen. Alleluia. I tell you, when we receive the body and blood of Christ, we should be anticipating that we are about to receive Jesus, that this is truly Jesus. It is not some kind of a just symbolic thing when we, as Catholics and Orthodox, receive Jesus. It is truly Jesus. You see, I'm going to tell you, a long time ago, I was doing a wedding for a man and a woman, and I asked them if they were going to have a Mass, and they said yes. I said, do you believe that this is truly Jesus? He said, of course not, it's a symbol. I said, that's not what the Church believes, and that's not what I believe. It is truly Jesus Christ, true God and true man. And you know what? I don't even know, if we took a poll, how many do believe in the real presence of Jesus. Yesterday I heard that a priest never even spoke about the real presence of Jesus in the Eucharist. That's what it was all about yesterday, the Feast of Corpus Christi, the Feast of the Body and Blood of Christ. It was all about that yesterday. I don't know what he spoke about. Maybe he spoke about his vacation. I have no idea. But I do know this. Jesus is truly present under the sign of bread and wine. Jesus is truly present under the sign of bread and wine. When we consecrate that bread and wine, we are receiving the living Jesus. Yes, we stand at Calvary and receive the resurrected Christ. Hallelujah. That means that you loved the healing service on Friday, didn't you? But you see, every Mass is a healing service. Every Mass is a healing service because we receive the body and blood of Christ. Every Mass is a healing service. I'm looking at the sixth chapter of John. After these things, Jesus went over to the Sea of Galilee, which is the Sea of Tiberias, another name for it. And a great multitude followed Jesus because they saw the miracles, which he did. On them they were diseased. Let me repeat that again. And a great multitude followed him because they saw his miracles, which he did on them that were diseased. The miracles were done on the diseased people, and they became healthy. And Jesus went up into a mountain, and there he sat with his disciples. And the Passover, a feast of the Jews, was very nigh at hand. Then Jesus lifted up his eyes and saw a great company come unto him. He said unto Philip, where shall we buy bread that these may eat? And this he said to prove him, for he himself knew what he was about to do. Philip answered him, 200 days wages of bread is not sufficient for the crowd, and every one of them may take just a little. That's not sufficient. One of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, said unto him, there is a lad here. This lad is very important. There is a lad here who has 5 barley loaves and 2 small fish. But what is that among so many? And Jesus said, make the men sit down. Now there was much grass in the place, so the men sat down in number about 5,000. And Jesus took the 5 loaves, and when he had given thanks, he distributed to his disciples. It's like the forerunner of the Eucharist. He was giving thanks. He distributed to the disciples, and the disciples to them that were set down. And likewise of the fish, as much as they wanted. And how could 5 loaves and a couple of fish feed the crowd of thousands? Because Jesus multiplied it. And this is the foreshadowing of the Eucharist, you see. You know, he blesses the bread, he distributes the bread, he breaks the bread, and he gives it out. It is not the Eucharist, but it is the foreshadowing of the Eucharist. When they were filled, he said unto his disciples, gather up the fragments that remain, that nothing be lost. Gather up the fragments. At the Eucharist, everything that is not eaten is put in the tabernacle. Why? Because it is the real presence of Jesus. Therefore they gather them together and fill 12 baskets with fragments of the 5 barley loaves. 12 baskets remained over and above unto them that had eaten. Then those men, when they had seen the miracle that Jesus did, this is the truth, the prophet that should come into the world. When Jesus therefore perceived that they would come and take him by force to make him a king, he departed again into the mountain by himself alone. What's happened here now? They see this great miracle that has taken place. They want to make Jesus a king. He runs off to the hills. He runs off to the mountains because his kingship is going to be on a cross. His kingship is not going to be on the throne. You see, but this is a temptation, because what would you rather have, a cross or a throne? Of course, Jesus ran off to the hills by himself alone. And when even now was come, his disciples went down to the sea and entered into a ship and went over the sea toward Capernaum. And it was now dark, and Jesus had not come to them. And the sea arose by reason of a great wind that blew. So when they had rowed about 25 or 30 furlongs, they saw Jesus walking on the sea and drawing nigh unto the ship, and they were afraid. Think it's a ghost. But he said unto them, It is I, do not be afraid. And then they willingly received him into the ship, and here's the miracle, and immediately the ship was at the land where they had gone. In other words, when Jesus comes into the boat, all the turmoil stops, and they're miraculously at the land. They're no longer in the middle of the storm. When Jesus comes into our storm, it's the same thing. We have peace by the grace of God if we admit him into our storm. The day following, when the people which stood on other side of the sea saw that there was no other boat there save the one of his disciples that he entered, that Jesus went not with his disciples into the boat, but that his disciples were gone away alone. In other words, they say, how did Jesus get there? He didn't leave with them. They've got their eyes on Jesus. You know why? He's the miracle worker, and they're in need of miracles. They're in need of healing. They're in need of being distressed, having peace. Howbeit, there came other boats from Tiberias nigh unto the place where they did eat bread. After that, the Lord had given thanks. When the people therefore saw that Jesus was not there, neither his disciples, they also took shipping and came to Capernaum, seeking Jesus. I wonder how often we seek Jesus. Do we really seek Jesus like these people? Are we as desperate to seek Jesus, you know, in the midst of our lives? Jesus needs to be sought after. Jesus needs to be anticipated. Oh, yes, Jesus needs to be loved. Not that he needs it, but we need to love Jesus. Why? Because we need to love Jesus. And when they had found him on the other side of the sea, they said unto him, Teacher, Rabbi, when did you come here? Jesus answered them and said, Truly, truly, I say to you, you seek me not because you saw miracles, but because you did eat the loaves and were filled. Labor not for the meat that perish, but for the meat that endures unto everlasting life, which the Son of Man shall give you. For on him God has set his seal. The seal of the Father is the Holy Spirit. Do not seek after the bread that withers, but seek after the living bread of heaven. Then they said unto him, What shall we do that we might do the works of God? In other words, what are the works of God that we do in order to obtain eternal life? Jesus answered, This is the work of God. Not plural, but singular. That you believe on him whom he hath sent. And they said therefore to him, What sign do you show us that we may see and believe? What work are you going to work in our presence? Our fathers did eat manna in the desert. Remember manna? They received this manna and They said, what is this manna? Manna means, what is it? This is the what is it that came down from heaven. Our fathers did eat manna in the desert, as it is written, he gave them bread from heaven to eat. Then Jesus said unto them, truly, truly, I say to you, Moses gave you not the bread that comes from heaven, but my Father gives to you the true bread that comes from heaven. Hallelujah. Now we're talking about the Word, and we're going to be talking about the Eucharist. For the bread of God is that which comes down from heaven and gives life unto the world. Then said they unto him, Lord, evermore give us this bread. And Jesus said to them, I am the bread of life. Amen. He that comes to me shall never hunger. He that believes on me shall never thirst. But I said unto you that you also have seen me, and you believe not. All that the Father gives me shall come to me. Are you coming to Jesus? Are you going to Jesus? All that the Father gives to me will come to me. If you are running to Jesus, the Father gave you to Jesus. All that the Father gives me shall come to me, and him that comes to me I will never cast out. Jesus will never reject you. If you run to Jesus, he will never reject you. I don't care what you've done, how many times you've done it, Jesus will not reject you. He has come down to save sinners, and there is no other name under heaven by which we are to be saved but the name of Jesus Christ. He will not reject you. For I came down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me. Now what is the will of him who sent me? And this is the Father's will who sent me, that I should lose nothing of what he has given me, but I should raise it up on the last day. It is the Father's will that you not be lost, but that he raise you up on the last day. This is the will of him that sent me, the Father, that everyone who sees the Son and believes on him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up on the last day. To believe in the Son is not to say, I believe, I believe. To believe in the Son is to give our lives to him, to anticipate him coming, to want him more than we want anything else. We need to ask for that grace, the grace of anticipating Jesus coming in the Eucharist, the anticipation of Jesus coming in the Word. We need to anticipate with great, great anticipation. But you know what? We don't, because it's taken us, you know, we've done it so often. We've received the body and blood so often that we almost take it for granted, or this is the time to receive Holy Communion. But this is truly Christ risen from the dead. This is not only the time, but I should anticipate the time. If I'm buying a new car, I'm anticipating that I'm getting it on Wednesday. I'm all excited. We should get excited that we're going to receive Jesus, the true presence of God. The Jews then murmured at him because he said, I am the bread which came down from heaven. And they said, is not this Jesus, the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? How is it then that he says, I have come down from heaven? Jesus therefore answered and said unto them, murmur not among yourselves. No man can come to me except the Father who sent me draws him, and I will raise him up on the last day. No man can come to Jesus unless the Father who sent him draws that person to Jesus. It is written in the prophets, and they shall all be taught by God. Every man, therefore, that hath heard and hath learned of the Father comes unto me. In other words, if you've heard the Father, and if you've loved the Father, and you've learned of the Father, and you've heard of the Father, and he's touched you, you come to Jesus, because Jesus was sent by the Father. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him will not perish, but have eternal life. Let's review what we've gone over. Let's gather up the fragments. The foreshadowing of the Eucharist was this little boy with his fish and loaves, and Jesus Christ multiplied it to feed all the people. The people want to make him a king, but he runs off to the hills because his kingship will be on Calvary. Jesus Christ's kingship is on the cross. Then there was a boat that was being plummeted by the wind, and Jesus walks on the water and comes into the boat, and exactly when he comes into the boat, they've reached the shore. Then Jesus says, "No one can come to me unless the Father draw him, and I will raise him up on the last day. And if you come to me, I will never lose you. It is not my will that you be lost, but that you be saved." The angel of the Lord declared unto Mary, and she conceived of the Holy Spirit. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Behold the handmaid of the Lord, let it be done unto me according to thy word. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Behold the handmaid of the Lord, let it be done unto me according to your word. I want you to look in Google Eucharistic miracles. Eucharistic miracles. Google it and see the great miracles that have been done through the ages at the Eucharist. God bless you.
Behold, I stand at the door and knock.
This has been In Season and Out of Season with Father Tom DiLorenzo. A tape of this week's series of messages is available to you with a donation when you write to this new address, Father Tom DiLorenzo, P.O. Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. Please make a note of it. And remember that this ministry is supported only by the donations of listeners, so please help as the Lord leads you. That new address again is Father Tom DiLorenzo, P.O. Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. And be sure to listen again next time for In Season and Out of Season.